Part number three, the sign of God's covenant. This is the sign that I will give you. And then God proceeded to put the bow of light in the clouded heavens. I will set my bow in the clouds. However dense the clouds might be, the light would shine through them. No one can look at light and see its rainbow colors. We need a prism. We need a cloud. Light is a revelation of God, who is light, of Christ, who is light. But to look at God, to look at Christ, with sin-dimmed eyes, is to court blindness. Knowing that, God broke down the light invisible into light visible with all its hues, tints, and shades, and colors. There had been light like a sword in Eden. Now there was light like a bow through the rain after the flood. God gave the rainbow. We see signs of the covenant given to Abraham. He had circumcision. We see the signs of the covenant given to Israel. They kept the Sabbath. Sabbath is to be a sign. So God has set signs in the heavens. That's his sign. And then he set signs on earth. With Abraham, it was circumcision. And with the Sabbath, both of them filled it. God kept it. Man must keep it too. Part number six, the remnant of faith. We've already noticed that as a result of a covenant relationship, when the contractual period is over, there is always a remnant that remained true. After God had blotted out every living thing upon the face of the earth, only Noah was left or remained. He remained. And we see this many times. You remember Jesus talked about one taken and another left? He had already used the analogy of Noah. Millions were taken, eight were left. Then he used the analogy of Sodom and Gomorrah. Many were taken. Remember Lot's wife? Only three were left. He says in the last days, there will be men living together, sleeping in the same bed, working together. At a mill or in the field, one will be taken and the other left. And the disciples ask him, where will they be taken, Lord? Because they knew where they'd be left, either in the bed or in the field or grinding corn. And he says, where the eagles are, where the bodies are, there the eagles will be gathered together. And we read about the eagles and the bodies in the 19th chapter of Revelation. And when the bodies have been destroyed, taken in death, those that are left, there's always a remnant that survives. We which are alive and are the remnant, and are remain, and are left, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord, and enter into the new covenant, in the new earth, with a new life, and a new vision, face to face with our Creator. Through this new covenant relationship, God is trying to teach his people that he has a future for them. The original contract, the old covenant, obey and live, disobey and die, was disobeyed. The angels fell, they lost their state. Adam and Eve fell, they lost their state. They lost their relationship. Then God made a new contract. Now it's called the everlasting covenant because nothing is new with God. The Lamb is slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But in time, Christ became a priest on the day of Pentecost. In time, Jesus Christ was crucified as the Paschal Lamb, 1900 years ago. In time, the new covenant was made with Adam and Eve, with Noah, with Enoch, of course, with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, David, times of Jeremiah, in the days of Paul, Peter, in our time. Any who will enter, who realize that they have sinned and come short of the glory of God, who sense that of their own selves they can do nothing. They are impotent. Who say, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, who come to Jesus and say, Master, take over. He says, I will make a covenant with you. I will put my law in your mind. I will put my grace in your life. I will give you faith to accept. I will guide you with my spirit. I will send the comforter, and he will teach you what is sin, what is righteousness, what is judgment. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the essential difference between the Old and the New Covenant is that the Old Covenant, perfectly good, can be carried out by people who choose to carry it out till they fall. Then they lose the built-in ability. When Adam and Eve fell, the New Covenant relationship came into operation. The legal part of the covenant is exactly the same. Obey and live. Disobey and die. But now in the new covenant, the everlasting covenant, the covenant of grace, the Abrahamic covenant, the second covenant, whatever you call it, God says, I will do it. You submit. You come in. I will cleanse you of the sins of the past. I will start you out anew. I will begin you like a babe beginning life. I will enable you to be born again. You just come into this relationship. Accept my grace. If you have any doubt, pray for faith, and I will give you faith too. I will help you. If you're in doubt as to what to do, I will send my spirit. He will teach you. And to those who thus choose, willingly, joyfully, readily, and continuously, to accept all the provisions that Christ has made, they are in this new covenant relationship. They now live in the sphere of grace. The sword of the law is no longer hanging over the neck. It has been plunged into the breast of the Son of God. He has died on their behalf. They can now, as new creatures, live in this new covenant relationship. But as this lesson stresses, he that endures to the end only shall be saved. The remnant shall be saved. There is always a remnant of faith that remains true to the end. And with faith, there is the exercise of will. Let us therefore choose to enter into this new covenant relationship.